first reading is from the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse, the blessing of God upon Abram. A reading from Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from the book of Romans, the 4th chapter, beginning at the first verse. The promise to those who share Abraham's faith. A reading from Romans. What are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. The word of the Lord.
Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. While this gospel reading is chock full of preachable things, including probably the most known Bible verse in the world, I felt drawn to preach on the story from Genesis, of Abram being called. One of my favorite things to talk about with people is their call. A call is a general word that describes our purpose. Some people answer this with words, including their professional titles: nurse, lawyer, doctor, teacher, engineer, musician, student. Others answer with relational roles they serve: mother, father, grandparent, son, daughter, sister, brother, friend, caregiver. Some answer with a mission statement: I am called to preserve the stories of people's lives. I am called to heal the sick and mend the broken. I am called to mediate equity and justice between conflicting parties. Calls are an odd part of our lives. I think this is because a sense of call is something that's unique to people of faith. After all, the word call does imply that there is someone on the other end of that line. Someone sending out that message of purpose that connects us to the caller. In my opinion, the best part of calls are their stories. Call stories are an integral part of our faith journeys. The Bible is a collection of call stories. Whether Abram's call to go to a new land, or Mary's call to be the mother of Jesus, or Paul's transformative call from Saul to Paul. We all have call stories, and we will have many throughout our lives. Whether God shows up in a dream, a conversation with a friend, or a nagging thought, God's call is persistent. My call to be a deacon happened in a casual conversation. Josh and I had been home visiting for Thanksgiving. I was talking to my mom late into the night, as we do. Josh and I had been living in Iowa for about 4 months as he began seminary. I had been teaching 3-year-old preschool, and I was enjoying that I officially got to use my degree finally. It was exciting work working with three-year-olds. As I told my mom about my classroom, my kids, and my life, I realized that though I liked it, it wasn't fulfilling. Something was missing. The only way I could describe it was that it didn't feel like this is what God made me to do. As I wrestled with this question, I thought back to the times that I did feel fulfilled and what I was doing. I mostly came back to my time serving as a youth director. I had served as a volunteer and a paid youth director at our church in Tulsa for 3 years. I thought of the gifts that I used and what I was good at. The words organizer and resource kept coming to mind. I was unsure of what this meant. I kept feeling this nudge to look into seminary, but I wrestled with what that was because I knew I was not called to be a pastor. For much of my Christian life, I had been told that I would make a good pastor. My youth leaders told me this when I joined the church at 16. My pastors told me this. When Josh felt called to go to seminary, many people at church said, well, just see if they have a two-for-one deal. I heard this from many people, but I never felt the call or desire to be a pastor. And this wrestling had become uncomfortable. It was difficult to go to work each day and be with my kids, half the time because I felt like I was meant to be somewhere else, and half the time because I was sad at the thought of leaving them. It was uncomfortable thinking about both Josh and I being students, without an income, and not to mention I had just found out I was pregnant with Josiah. It was uncomfortable having so many questions with unknown answers, yet still feeling like I had to keep asking and following them. One evening, I talked to the vocation office at the seminary about what I was wrestling with. They gave me some new words to describe what I was feeling. One was naming that I was being called. The other was a word that I hadn't heard of, and the people who told me that I would make a pastor, I think, didn't know it either. This word was deacon, a theologically trained leader and service minister in the church. What really caught me was the phrase, to work at the intersection of church and world. I finally had the right words for what God was calling to me to, and I began classes in the fall. But calls don't just happen once in a lifetime. My more recent call story has involved all of you. I have loved to serve as my call here to be the deacon of Faith Lutheran Church, which is why it caught me off guard, as it probably did much of you when you received my letter, that I was being called to something new, something that I'm still figuring out and wrestling with, uncomfortable as it may be. Since the beginning of this year, I have felt this ringing again in my call line. This time, the call has felt similar to Abraham's, that I don't know what it is that I'm being called to, only that I'm being called. It seems that answering a call is sometimes like stepping onto a roller coaster blindfolded. It will be fun, it will be scary, there will be turns and drops that you cannot see, but you will feel. There will be moments of feeling weightless and the thrill of being fearless. I wonder if this is how Abram and Sarai felt, soon to be Abraham and Sarah, when God first called Abraham to leave his home, his people, and go somewhere new that God would lead him. God promised to bless Abraham and to make him a great nation and bless many through him. This leaving, though, leaving his family, is usually part of the story that gets lessened in hindsight, something like, in our own stories, like, I went away for school, or I moved to get a new job. Years later, it may just seem like a little matter-of-fact part of the story, but in the moment, it is much more. For some, leaving is the main reason they don't answer the call. When we left Tulsa for seminary, it was difficult. We left my family, our jobs, our church, our youth kids that we'd spent two nights a week with for 3 years and watched grow. We had to leave our sweet little apartment that we started our life together in. It overlooked the Arkansas River and was walking distance to our favorite hangout spots. I had to leave the roads I'd driven since I learned to drive, the roads I used to take the long way home whenever I could so that I could spend a little more time with my windows down and my favorite songs on the radio. Now the long way and the short way would be much longer. Now I would have to learn all the new roads, all the new restaurants, friends, community, new job, new church, and all the new places. All that new and unknown was uncomfortable. Deeply uncomfortable, and all the things of home that I normally took comfort in would be gone. That absence made it doubly hard. Calls, much like Abram's, lead us into unknown and uncomfortable places in our lives. Whether the call takes you to a new place or just a new season in your life. And that discomfort reminds me of a few important truths, much like Abraham's call. One is that these calls teach us that God is leading. Two is that God provides comfort beyond anything or anyone in these times. When our lives become familiar and comfortable, it becomes quite easy to not rely on God. There's a saying about the gospel of Jesus. The good news of Jesus is comfort to the afflicted and affliction to the comfortable. Now, I don't think that God hopes for us to be afflicted, but when it comes to comfort and being comfortable, God gives us comfort, but I don't think that God hopes for us to be comfortable. When we are comfortable, we can easily become complacent about following God. Being comfortable keeps us from doing uncomfortable things. And I say this as a person who loves to be comfortable. My favorite part of every day is when I'm done with all the responsibilities and I can put on sweatpants and eat chocolate and just watch shows. There's a degree of which this provides comfort, which is fine, but it moves into being comfortable and all my good intentions for my free time are gone. I don't read books that I've been wanting to because I could just continue binge-watching on Netflix. I don't create art that I've been excited about making because I'd have to get up, get all the stuff out, do it, and then when I'm done, I'd have to clean it up. It's so much easier to just stay comfortable. So occasionally, God's call afflicts us and pokes us enough to move out of this comfortable space. Because God's call doesn't get answered through being comfortable. God's call drags us into the uncomfortable places. Whether like Abram and Sarai, we are called to leave our families, our countries, or everything we know to follow into an unknown, trusting the God who has become known to us. Or rather than God's call giving us a promise of being comfortable, God's call gives us a promise to be a blessing. As Abram and Sarai left everything to venture into an unknown land, God promised Abram many things: to make him a great nation, to bless him, to make his name great. But all of this is not to make Abram comfortable again, but so that he will be a blessing. How often do we miss this part of the story? We hear about the great nation and the blessings and that his name will be great, but leave out that last sentence. All of these things are done so that you will be a blessing. How does God's call in our life invite us to be a blessing? Who is being blessed by you following your call? And who blesses you by following their calls? God calls each of us over and over again. Our faith lives are a journey that ebb and flow between the points which God calls us. And when we live into these calls, we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen.